Hello, everybody. Nice to see you all. Thanks for being here. Good to see you guys. Well, we've been studying the Dhammapada and we finished studying that. And that was really great because it is so clear and so simple. And the Dhammapada says the Dharma is very clear. Do what is wholesome, do not do what is unwholesome. And when you follow the path of the Dharma, doing what is wholesome, you can rest assured that there will be peace and happiness. And when you do the opposite, you know that it's not going to go well. The Dhammapada is very clear on all this, and I find it very inspiring and very comforting in its clarity and simplicity. On the other hand, there were a number of us who, from time to time, would speak up. Sometimes maybe they didn't speak up, but they thought this, that maybe this is not so great. Because is life ever really that simple? Really, is it so clear and so simple? And you do this and that happens, you do that and this happens. Is it that simple? And then there was some people that mentioned more than once the question of discipline and restraint and purification, that the Dhammapada, that's really sort of the main thrust of the Dhammapada. Isn't that a little limiting? And doesn't it lack the soaring kind of inspiration that you find in the Mahayana sutras, like the Gandhavyuha Sutra that we just finished reading a little while ago and that we're still reading with Roberta once in a while? Isn't that, nothing could be more different than these two kinds of texts. And also, you find the same kind of soaring and poetic inspiration in Dogen. And so, isn't that a limitation? Isn't that a lack in the Dhammapada? And it reminds me of Suzuki Roshi's saying someplace, or maybe I made this up, but I don't think so. I think he says someplace that our practice is Hinayana practice with a Mahayana mind. I'm sure many of you old timers have heard this saying before, Hinayana practice with Mahayana mind. In other words, our practice actually is very simple and down to earth and unadorned. Like the practice of the Dhammapada, we are doing that practice, but we're understanding that practice in a more expansive way. And that's why today and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to read Dogen's perspective on this exact same teaching that the Dhammapada gives. So in Zen, as we all know, we have 16 bodhisattva precepts, and we have the three refuges, and then we have the three pure precepts. Avoid evil, or another way of saying the same thing, refrain from unwholesome action. Do good, or do wholesome action, and purify your mind, which we understand as save all beings. Save all beings is the same thing as purify your mind, because as we know from our studies of Mahayana sutras and of Dogen, the mind is not a little thing inside your skull. The mind is not in your brain or your personal consciousness. The mind is not personal. Mind is, in Yogacara teaching, mind is reality. Mind is everything. So when you say purify the mind and you say save all sentient beings, it really is the same thing. And that's what the Dhammapada is about, right? Avoid unwholesome action, refrain from unwholesome action, do good action or wholesome action, and purify your mind. And so this is the fascicle we're going to study for the next 3 weeks. In Japanese, it's Shoaku Makusa, which is translated as refrain from unwholesome action. And it's a fascicle of Dogen on the three pure precepts. So I think what I'll do tonight, and let's see how that goes, is I'll read passages from Dogen, and then I'll make a comment on them, and I'll read some more, very much like what I did with Dhammapada. So this is Dogen's essay, Shoaku Makusa. It begins like this: Ancient Buddhas say, refrain from unwholesome action, do wholesome action, purify your own mind. This is the teaching of all Buddhas. This teaching has been authentically transmitted from earlier Buddhas to later Buddhas of the future as the seven original Buddhas' general precepts in the ancestral school. Later Buddhas received these precepts from earlier Buddhas. This teaching is not limited to the seven original Buddhas. It is the teaching of all Buddhas. Thoroughly investigate this point. This Dharma of the seven original Buddhas is always the Dharma way of the seven original Buddhas. Transmitting and receiving these precepts is a mutual activity. This is the teaching of all Buddhas, the teaching, practice, and enlightenment of hundreds, thousands, and myriads of Buddhas. So that's how he begins. So he's telling us, first of all, that these three precepts are universal precepts of all the Buddhas throughout all time. And so you should take them seriously, you should practice them, you should have faith in them, you should investigate the fact that these precepts aren't just for you and about you. They are Buddha precepts, right? They have dimensions beyond what we can see and know. Usually, when we think about the precepts, we think about them personally, as we should, but here he's saying actually they're much more than that. And he's also saying that the essence of these Buddha precepts is that they are mutual activity. They are received and handed down. They're not just a set of principles. They're received and handed down. You receive them, and all the Buddhas receive them. And this is something that Dogen emphasizes again and again, and it's something that I think many of us find really inspiring about Dogen's teaching. He's saying that the teaching and the practice is not a set of techniques or a to-do list. It's a dynamic reality that's always new and that only exists between us. No one of us, is doing this. The doing of it, the it that we're doing, is something that arises between us, always new. It's mutual. And that's something, like I say, is a fundamental point for Dogen. So now I go back to Dogen's words. Unwholesome action is one of the three natures. Unwholesome nature, it's one of the three natures. The wholesome action nature, the unwholesome action nature, and the neutral nature. The unwholesome action nature is unborn. It's unborn, just as the wholesome action nature and neutral nature are unborn. These three natures are also non-defiled, and they are reality. So the three natures is a very kind of everyday, ordinary teaching in Buddha Dharma, that there's karma, right? Actions fall into one of three categories. It's either a wholesome action, an unwholesome action, or it's neutral, it's mixed. And every act of body, speech, and mind generates a karmic effect that is going to be either wholesome, unwholesome, or neutral. Okay, so far so good. But now Dogen wants to go beyond this. And he says, all three natures are really one nature, unborn, undefiled, and really, really real. So the Dhammapada, yeah, there we go. The Dhammapada teaching recognizes the three natures as wholesome, unwholesome, neutral. But nowhere in the Dhammapada does it say, and these three natures are unborn and non-defiled. Unborn is one way of expressing empty. We're familiar from the Heart Sutra of the emptiness teaching. So the three natures are unborn, not really existing, empty of own being, empty of fundamental hard and fast existence. And empty is beyond concepts of defiled and undefiled. And Dogen often calls that which is empty undefiled, meaning not subject to discrimination or conceptual parsing beyond all distinctions. And that's what's really, really real. Empty, unborn nature that is undefiled beyond all distinctions. So now we're really, whoa, you know, we don't quite know what to do with that, because everything that we can think or understand or experience is always based on distinctions. So now he's telling us that there's something other than that that is inherent in karma, in these three simple natures. He goes on. However, these three natures are manifested in various ways. As for wholesome action, sorry, as for unwholesome action in this world and unwholesome action in other worlds are sometimes the same and sometimes different. Unwholesome action in former times and unwholesome action in the present time are sometimes the same and sometimes they're different. Unwholesome action in the Deva world and unwholesome action in the human world are sometimes the same and sometimes different. Furthermore, there's a great difference between the Buddha way and the worldly realm in what is called unwholesome action, wholesome action, or neutral action. So now he complicates the picture a little further. He says, yes, there's unwholesome action, and it's clear we should refrain from unwholesome action. But what is unwholesome action exactly? Well, it depends on where you are. Because, I mean, we know that, right? Certain things are illegal or immoral over here, but they're not illegal or immoral over there, right? It depends on where you are. Depends on the time in which you're living. There's things that are used to be bad and sinful and horrible that are no longer bad and sinful and horrible, and or the reverse. Plus, there's other worlds, other universes, other kinds of beings, right? Devas, maybe have a whole other system of what's wholesome and unwholesome than we do. They're looking at God, semi-God figures. And then beyond that, there's a big difference between the Buddha realm and the ordinary worldly realm. So, okay, refrain from unwholesome action, but there's a lot of different possibilities for what is wholesome and what is unwholesome. And then he says, startlingly maybe, or maybe not, if you're used to reading Dogen, this is no surprise at all. Wholesome action and unwholesome action are time. Right, time. Although time is neither wholesome action nor unwholesome action. Wholesome action and unwholesome action are dharma. Although dharma is neither wholesome action nor unwholesome action. As dharma is all-inclusive, unwholesome action is all-inclusive. As dharma is all-inclusive, unwholesome action is all inclusive. So unwholesome action and wholesome action are all inclusive because dharma is all inclusive. So now he's opening this fan up all the way now, right? Wholesome action or unwholesome action or neutral action, any kind of action, is existence, is time. Because time is dynamic. Time is not like some sort of abstract container or substance. Time is dynamic action. Karma is time. Things happen only in time. They don't happen anywhere else outside of time. And that things happen is what time is, Dogen is saying. And that is also Dharma. That's the Dharma. And that is all inclusive. So every action, wholesome or unwholesome, is time, is Dharma, and is all-inclusive, meaning every action is included in it. Every time is included in it. Now smoke starts to come out of our ears, and we're wondering, whoa, you know. Phew. He goes on. Now he goes on. When you listen, study, practice, and realize unsurpassable complete enlightenment, it is deep, vast, and wondrous. You learn this unsurpassable enlightenment either by following a teacher or by following a sutra. First, you understand it as refrain from unwholesome action. If you do not understand it as refrain from unwholesome action, it is not true Buddha Dharma, but the speech of demons. Know that to understand unsurpassable enlightenment as refrain from unwholesome action is the true Buddha Dharma. So he's just taken us to like beyond the cosmos with, you know, what is unwholesome, wholesome, and neutral action, which we didn't think it was that. We just thought it was a pretty simple thing that like the Dhammapada told us, and they take us all the way out to outer space, and now he brings us all the way back. You have to practice simply refraining from unwholesome action. You have to do that. And if somebody tells you that that's not in Buddhism, that's not right. Buddhism starts and ends with just this one thing. Refrain from unwholesome action. It's all about that. It's the foundation of Dharma. All of enlightenment is included in that. Simple precept of just don't do bad stuff. Don't be mean. Don't be unkind. Don't be careless. Going on with Dogen's words, refrain from unwholesome action. This is not what ordinary people first interpreted to mean. Although it may sound like it when we hear enlightenment expounded as a teaching of enlightenment. We understand in this way because it is an expression of unsurpassable enlightenment. It is words of enlightenment, therefore it is spoken enlightenment. Moved by what is spoken and heard, unsurpassable enlightenment, you vow to refrain from unwholesome action and practice refraining from unwholesome action. So yes, you do that practice, and it's very clear. And we have precept, you know, we know, you know, not to lie, not to misuse sexuality, etc., etc. You know, we understand what is unwholesome and what is wholesome. And we do refrain from unwholesome action. But actually what you are doing when you're refraining from unwholesome action is not what it appears to be. It's not what you think it is. And yet, since you hear the precept as Dharma, because everything in the Dharma is in the teaching of that precept, you hear it that way and you do it faithfully, even though you might not understand the dimensions of it, In another way, just in the doing of it, you do understand, because your faith understands, your sincerity understands, your simple willingness to do that practice itself brings with it the whole of enlightenment. Dogen, when you refrain from unwholesome action, the power of practice is immediately actualized. This is actualized on the scale of the entire earth, the entire universe, all time and all dharmas. This is the scale of refrain from. So when you are just simply a decent human being practicing the Dharma in that way, as a, just a decent human being, with that sense of, this is my practice, this is the Dharma, the scope of that is immense. You just think it's you and people around you, but no, it affects the entire earth, the entire cosmos, all of space and time, even though you don't know that. That's what's going on, that's what's going on. This very person, Dogen goes on, at this very moment, abides in the place, comes from it, and goes to it where no unwholesome action is created. Although the person appears to be faced with the conditions of creating unwholesome action or of associating with those who create unwholesome action. Now Dogen is telling us that although we are practicing refraining from unwholesome action, and it looks like there's a thing that we should be refraining from, the truth is, there is no such thing as unwholesome action. There's nothing that could be done that would be not refraining from unwholesome action. When the power of refrain from, now he's reducing the whole thing to just these words, refrain from, when the power of refrain from is actualized, unwholesome action does not manifest as unwholesome action. Unwholesome action has no fixed form. You can pick it up or let it go. At the moment we understand this, we know that unwholesome action does not overcome a person, and a person does not destroy unwholesome action. So when you practice refrain from, in the profound sense in which Dogen is now kind of getting us to see it, then you go beyond the limitations of unwholesome and wholesome action. What he's saying, in effect, is that the practice of simple moral conduct takes us way beyond simple moral conduct, way beyond good or bad, to a realm of supreme truth. When you arouse, Dogen again, when you arouse your entire mind and let it practice, and when you arouse your entire body and let it practice, 8 or 9 out of 10 are accomplished before questioning, and refrain from unwholesome action is actualized after knowing. When you bring forth your body, mind, and practice, and when you bring forth the body, mind, and practice of others, the power of practice with the four elements and the five skandhas is immediately actualized. Without defiling the self of the four elements and the five skandhas, the four elements and the five skandhas of today are practiced. The power of the four elements and the five skandhas practiced at this moment actualizes the practice of the four elements and the five skandhas in the past. Well, this is a little complicated, it seems. But it seems to be saying that when we give ourselves, just simply give ourselves, with sincerity to this very simple practice of refraining from unwholesome action. And we really, really, really want to do this. You know, we really, really want to be kind and not to be harming and not to be hurting. And that's really our fundamental motivation. And when we do that, and when we do it, especially with others, mutually with others, encouraging each other, that's most of the way to enlightenment. That's most of it. I mean, Dogen has all the stuff about Zazen. Here, there's not a word about this, not Zazen. You do not have to, this is not about Zazen at all. This is just about refrain from unwholesome conduct. But it's most of the way of enlightenment. And this enlightenment, again, is not just something that you achieve. It is something that will pervade the whole physical, psychological, and spiritual worlds of the past and the future. Dogen, when you move mountains, rivers, and earth, as well as the sun, the moon, the stars, to practice, they in return move you to practice. This is not the open eye of just one time, but the vital eye of all times, because it is all the open eye, the vital eye of all times. You move all Buddhas and ancestors to practice, to listen to the teaching, and to realize the fruit. So when you do this simple thing, the whole earth is influenced and in turn influences you. So you are inspiring all of reality, and all of reality is turning around and inspiring you. So that's where you get the strength to practice. It's not you. You do your best, and then you are turned to practice by not only all of reality, but by the Buddha ancestors who influence you from their position in the past as you influence them from your position in the present. Since all Buddhas and ancestors have not allowed the teaching, practice, and enlightenment to be divided, the teaching, practice, and enlightenment have not hindered all Buddhas and ancestors. For this reason, when you move Buddhas and ancestors to practice, none of them are separated from before or after your realization, either in the past, present, or future. At the time when sentient beings become Buddhas and ancestors, they become Buddhas and ancestors without hindering the Buddhas and ancestors who already exist. Ponder this point closely. Ponder this point closely. When you're walking, abiding, sitting, and lying down throughout the 12 hours of the day. In other words, this is the koan. Pay attention to this. Hold it in your heart all the time, all day long and all night long, whatever you're doing. It's not that a sentient being is destroyed, taken away, or lost by becoming a Buddha ancestor, but a sentient being is just dropped away, sloughed off. So again, not divided or undefiled or different phrases Dogen uses to indicate something that goes beyond all conceptualizations, all distinctions. And remember, all thought and all experience is conceptualization and distinction, including our ideas and experiences of ourself and others, of Buddhas and sentient beings, of practice and enlightenment. All these things are concepts and based on distinctions. So Buddhas are practice, and practice is Buddhas, and we are Buddhas, and Buddhas are us in the past, present, and future, and nothing obstructs anything or stands in the way of anything, and we let go of our conceptions when we live fully. That's what it really means to be in a moment of time, right? To really be in a moment of time is to be free of the conceptions of that moment of time. And we're always in time anyway, no matter what we think about it. So our practice is just to pay attention to this profound reality all the time. All the time. To be aware of that koan all the time. And of course, when we forget, to remember. You allow the cause and effect of wholesome and unwholesome actions to practice. It is not that you put cause and effect into action, or that you create cause and effect, but cause and effect at times allows you to practice. So the cause and effect of wholesome and unwholesome karma is what you create. This is the awesome power, right, of human beings. They, in every moment, without exception, do create wholesome, unwholesome, and neutral karma, because every thought, every word, every deed counts. And that's what you create by your actions, is the cause and effect that flows out into the world. And it's that cause and effect that flows out and flows to you that allows you to practice. Cause and effect allows you to practice. This means, in effect, that you have been given exactly, precisely, what you need to practice in this lifetime. And there have never been any mistakes. All the things you think are screwed up about you and so on, no, it's perfectly, exactly what you need. That's what this is saying. It's like exactly what you need. And now, given that, you have the awesome power to create the whole universe of cause and effect with your practice of refrain from unwholesome action. So you are awesome. That's the idea. We're all awesome. It's unbelievably awesome and powerful, super powerful. And we have been given, you know, this. I mean, yeah, it's. I don't know if you can relate to this, but it reminds me, like, whenever I see, like, a tree, you know, has a shadow, and I see the shadow of the tree, and it's like every leaf, you know, isn't it? You see it, right? And I think to myself, but the sun is 93 million miles away. How does it know how to precisely see every leaf on the tree? You know, it doesn't make any sense. How could it do that? It's the same idea, right? Every one of us is precisely as we need to be. And we have a precise and hugely important effect on the cosmos. That's what Dogen is telling us. And then he says, the original face, the true nature of cause and effect is already clear. Because this is dropping away, it is refrained from. Unborn, impermanent, not ignoring, and not dropping. But cause and effect, which is what we see in the ordinary world of good and bad, right, is then not limited to what it looks like to us based on our conceptual frameworks. Cause and effect is beyond cause and effect. Now, it would be too much to, you know, sometimes, you know, if you go into the details of what Dogen is saying, there's so many references and allusions that take you, I mean, it would take a long time to talk about every story that Dogen is referencing in these words. And a lot of the words are, you know, have antecedents that either Dogen thinks his listeners already know or doesn't care whether they know or not. So we can't go too far into it. But Dogen's use of language is very intense here. And I think what he's doing to try to explain a little piece of it, what he's doing is taking the phrase now, refrain from unwholesome action, which is an imperative, right? You refrain from unwholesome action. It's just telling you to do something, right? He's taking that phrase, refrain from unwholesome action, and he's saying the refrain from part is not an imperative verb, it's an adjective. What kind of unwholesome action is it? It's refrain from unwholesome action. It's that kind of unwholesome action. Refrain from unwholesome action. He's saying in this way that even as unwholesome action really is unwholesome action, it should be refrained from, it's already pure. It's already not unwholesome action because the refrain from part is pure. Right? So refrain from unwholesome action is pure action. That's the kind of action it is. It might sound a little like, really? Like, why would we care about that? It's a little too abstract. And it is a little too abstract, I think. But to me, there's a very practical side to it. Ethics, you know, in Buddha Dharma is very subtle and different from what we're used to. I think he's saying that when we commit to see unwholesome action as it is, and when we commit to refraining from it as our practice, and there's plenty of unwholesome action in this world, goodness knows, we begin to see it on a very profound level. We begin to see it with deep understanding and compassion. Understanding and compassion that goes as deep as the fabric of reality. Because we understand that although we're clear that unwholesome action is not to be done and that it is a mistake when it happens, it's also, when it happens, a profound foundation for awakening. That even this unwholesome action, if we really understand it with full compassion and understand it, full understanding, is awakening itself. The phrase not ignoring and not dropping that he uses here is a very distinct reference to the story of Baijiang's fox, which is one of the most famous of all Zen stories. And it's about this cause and effect. So he's referencing that story and he sort of, instead of telling the story and going on with the teachings about the story, he assumes that just using those words will have that whole story. And the story is making the point, exactly the same point that Dogen's making here. Freedom from cause and effect within obedience to cause and effect. He has an essay, another essay. I think it's called Cause and Effect, in which he talks about that story. So freedom and liberation within the limitation of cause and effect. And he says, when you study in this way, you realize that unwholesome action is none other than refrained from. So now he's playing with the language here. Assisted by this realization, you see through, and by sitting, you cut through refraining from unwholesome action. So now he gets to Zazen, finally. When we sit, what we're doing is seeing through wholesome and unwholesome action to the very bottom, because sitting, when we're sitting, there is no unwholesome action. There is no wholesome action. There is just sitting, cutting through, as he puts it here. At the beginning, middle, and end, as refraining from unwholesome action is actualized, then unwholesome action does not arise through causes and conditions. It is just refrained from. Unwholesome action does not cease through causes and conditions. It is just refrained from. As unwholesome action is all-inclusive, all dharmas are all-inclusive. So when you practice thoroughly, Dogen is saying, there cannot be unwholesome action. It cannot arise. There cannot be such a thing. In other words, this question of restraint that we've been talking about, there's no need for restraint whatsoever because it just can't happen. It is just refrained from. Your spontaneous, spontaneous action of a Buddha is simply refrained from. There's no restraint. It is automatically always refrained from. And refrain from, what is it? What is refrain from? Refrain from is not do, right? Don't do, not doing. And that's what the Buddha does. Buddhas always don't do. They don't. Buddha's doing is non-doing, right? That's what he's saying. Buddha's doing is a kind of non-doing. It's a non-karmic life for the Buddha. But even when there is unwholesome action, which presumably would be done by non-Buddhas, that too is non-doing. Or maybe you can say it like this. Unwholesome action is empty and unborn because unwholesome action in reality is all-inclusive, just as Buddha is all-inclusive. Which is to say, there is a tremendous resonance always to what happens. There's a big difference, right, between what happens and what doesn't happen. Big difference there, right? Big difference. What happens is like, whoa, it's immense, right? What doesn't happen, it doesn't really happen, right? Doesn't have the resonance of existence. And the resonance of existence is beyond our knowing and understanding. And anything that, and then in this passage he's saying, anything that happens, this is the why the resonance. It's because anything that happened, that happens, always contains everything that happens. I think you can understand this, right? This is like, whoa. Sometimes you just feel in a moment, everything is here. Those who only know that unwholesome action arises through causes and conditions and do not see that causes and conditions themselves are refrained from should be pitied, because Buddha seeds come forth through conditions. Conditions come forth through Buddha seeds. In other words, Dogen is saying here, you know, I really feel sorry for you. If you think that unwholesome action comes from karma, which of course it does, we are conditioned to do what we do. You couldn't help doing those things that you did. All of the conditioning of the universe made you do it. You do have to pay the price, but really, in a way, it's not your fault. You know, nobody can help being who they are, right? And he's saying, you know, I feel sorry for you if you know that, but you don't also know that causes and conditions, all conditioning is Buddha seeds. All conditioning is Buddha seeds. There are no mistakes, as I said a minute ago. What happens, since it happens, is simply what happens, and what happens is always the seed of awakening. And applied to a person's life, this means that you absolutely value and honor who you are and what has happened in your life. Even if you don't like it, it is an awesome heritage that we all have received. And so is everybody else. So we feel that way about ourselves, and we feel that way about everybody else. No mistakes, no deficiencies. Perfect tools given in this lifetime for awakening, and awakening will occur. Applied to the world, it means, and we've had this discussion many, many times, and I keep trying to really understand it. Applied to the world, it means that you strive for the good, and you strive to overcome the bad, but you also have faith that whatever happens is ground for awakening. In the case of the world, awakening means peace and justice for everyone, respect and justice and peace for everyone. And that's why you never despise or lament the present. Because no matter how dark it may seem to your conceptual mind and your desire for something to be other than the way it is, the present is always the ground for the future. Where else would the future come from, if not from here? And the future, from Dogen's point of view, is always about awakening. Again, causes and conditions are refrained from means causes and conditions are non-doing or empty. They are serious, they are effective, we pay attention to them, we know how to practice, we know what to do and not to do, but we understand all of this as empty, insubstantial, always moving in both senses of that word. Let's see, we'll go a little farther. It's not that unwholesome action does not exist, but it is just refrained from. It's not that unwholesome action does exist, it is just refrained from. Unwholesome action is not emptiness, but it is just refrained from. Unwholesome action is not form, but it is just refrained from. So here, when he says unwholesome action is not emptiness and not form, he means it's not a concept of emptiness and it's not a concept of form. It is just what it is, just what is. And here, this is another instance of something that Dogen does all the time in his writing. You read along and you think that you understand. And the next moment, he says something that makes it clear to you that your understanding was actually a conceptualization of what he was saying. Understanding gets in the way of understanding. And what he's saying is beyond your understanding, and yet he wants you to understand. So understanding in a conceptual sense, I got it, aha, is very limited, actually. It's limited to that thing that you've got, right? Understanding, so Dogen wouldn't be writing this if he didn't want you to understand it, right? So it's not like he's, you know, trying to obscure things. He wants you to understand, but he wants you to have the kind of understanding that includes not understanding, right? Which means it includes doubt, it includes openness, it includes surprise. It includes letting go. It includes dropping away. It's not, I got it, and now I'm smart. No. Yes, I get it. And the whole point of this, right, who is he talking to? He's talking to people like us in his day, people in the monastery who were devoted to practice. And his whole mission is to encourage their practice and give them a sense of the nobility and the scope of what it is they're doing. He's trying to inspire them to practice. So that's the kind of understanding that he's trying to promote. Okay, one last part and then I'll stop here. This is the last passage. Unwholesome action is not refrained from. It is just refrain from. For example, a spring pine is neither non-existent nor existent. It is refrained from. Autumn chrysanthemum is neither existent nor non-existent. It is refrained from. All Buddhas are neither non-existent nor existent. They are refrained from. Pillars, lanterns, whisk, and staff are neither existent nor non-existent. They are refrained from. Self is neither existent nor non-existent. It is refrained from. So now this practice of refrain from, which started out very simple and remains very simple, is now very all-inclusive and expansive. And I forgot to say at the beginning that the essay is actually very simply structured. He gives you the three pure precepts, and then he discusses each one in turn. All of that we've been talking about today is most of his discussion about the first one, refrain from unwholesome action. So he talks about the first one, then he talks about the second one, and then and the third one, and then at the end, he just talks about the third one quite briefly, actually. And then at the end, he ends with a famous saying of a Zen master that is actually the reason why he wrote the whole essay. He saves it for the end, and it's a famous story that we've often told about the bird's nest Roshi, who is asked by a famous poet, one of the most famous poets in Chinese history, Zhu Yi, who is very sophisticated and smart, and says to him, expecting a profound philosophical reply, what is the meaning of the Dharma? And the Zen master says to him, the meaning is refrain from unwholesome action, do good action, and purify the mind. And Zhu Yi was like really disappointed in this answer, because it was like, what? Even a little girl who's 3 years old knows that. Everybody knows that. I'm asking you, you know, something. I came all this way to ask you this question, you know, and that's what you tell me? And the Zen master says, yes, every little girl knows this, but not even a wise old man can practice it. And that's the story that actually is the reason why he's writing this whole essay. He gets to it at the end. So, Dogen is laying out in this essay in detail very specific points that he's making. What the bird's nest Roshi in this little story that I just told you doesn't say but implies. Dogen is telling us with lots of words and lots of ideas how profound and how full these precepts are. Yes, simple thing, you know. It's nice to be simple. We're so complicated, you know. It's nice to be simple. But at the same time, this little simple thing brings with it all of reality. When he says unwholesome action is not refrained from, it is just refrained from, he's indicating that unwholesome action is itself already refrained from, just as all reality is already refrained from. Precept is already followed even before you follow it, because reality is empty and pure and undefiled. But also, don't reduce this to a concept. It's not a concept, it's not an idea, it's not a watchword, it's not a moral rule external to you. It is the way to be in your life. And it isn't just human way of being in life. Pine trees and pillars also practice like this, because they too, like everything that exists, are empty and pure. Reality, in other words, is trustworthy, kind, peaceful. And that's its real nature. And we want to live in accord with that nature. And that's what it means to practice this precept. There's a little bit more about that refrain from, but I'll save that for next time. And so that we have time for groups and discussion. But before we do that, in case some people have to jump off, a couple of practical things. As I said, we'll do this text for 2 more weeks, and then I think that takes us, I think, to the end of the month. And then on March 28th, right, Saturday the 28th, we're going to open the practice period differently this year. We're going to do it at here at the church. We're at the church now, right? Yeah, here at the church in the other room. In the summertime, was it in the summertime? No, around Christmas time, we had a sitting in the church, and people really liked it. And so we're going to open the practice period just for the people in the practice period in the church. But it happens to be No King's Day. Everybody here knows what that is, right? Now, probably, well, it's certainly the case that we have Sangha members and people we dearly love who support the government as it is. Don't you think? We surely do. But a lot of us think it would be better if things were different. So you might want to go to. I myself think that these No King's Days protests are very important. So we've changed things around a bit so that those of you who, most of them are in the morning, and those of you who want to go to a No King's Day protest, wherever you are, because they're all over the place, can go to that in the morning. And we're going to have, at the church here, we'll start at 10 in the morning, and we'll have sitting for a couple of hours, and then we'll have a lunch, bring your lunch. And then after lunch, we'll have our ceremonies to open the practice period at 1 o'clock or so. So you should be able to go to one of the protests if you want to, and join us afterward. Or if you'd like to sit as a way of expressing what No King's Day is about, you can come and sit. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be here sitting. There is a one of the No King's Day events in Marin is at Tam Junction, right down at the bottom of the hill. And I'm not sure exactly the details of how that works, but that would be a very convenient one for people to, everyday Zen people, if they wanted to be together in the protest, that would be one to join up together. How you do that, I don't know, because I have no idea. Like, Tam Junction is where in Tam Junction? I don't know. So you could figure that out. But so those you can either sit, you can go to a protest in your neighborhood, you can go to Tam Junction and join with others, and or you can come and join at 1 o'clock. I do think that we all of us are in citizens of the country and of the world, and I think we have to pay attention to what goes on in the world and in the country. And if democracy is actually possible, which, because democracy is very difficult, you know, it might not be workable. But if it's workable, it depends on us to express ourselves. So whatever you have to express, you should express it. And people have been very skillful in organizing these days. So then we'll start the practice period starting on that day. And the very next Wednesday, we'll be start studying the texts that we're doing for practice period, and they're online. Yeah, Sue.
I just wanted to mention, I hope it's okay, that the Tam Junction protest starts at 10:30 and ends at noon. So
yes.
It would fit very well.
Yes, that's why it's very, very easy to get here from there. Right. That'd be a good one. I don't, like I say, I don't know when they say Tam Junction, it could mean the parking lot under the freeway. It could mean the corner where all the, I don't know where it is. Yeah. Somebody knows. So And you know, I don't know how many people will be there, but presumably we'll be able to find each other if we're there. But that would be the most convenient way, because then you could easily get up here by 1 o'clock. Okay, so for our groups, I think we have time for our groups. Some of you are long-time readers of Dogen, and some of you are not. So let's get into groups, and whether you're experienced with reading Dogen or not experienced, what's it like for you to study Dogen in this way? Some of you may have read ahead and had the experience of reading ahead and then hearing my commentary. Some of you maybe didn't read and are just hearing it for the first time. But what's it like for you to study Dogen? How does hearing this change your sense of practice that you are feeling after studying the Dhammapada? What dimension does this add or not add? Something like that. So let's self-organize into groups of three and online. Shufi is our host tonight. Thank you, Shufi. She'll put everybody in groups of three. And we'll have 3 minutes each. Three, three, and three.
Boy, that's a lot in there, Marilyn. Yeah. I mean, that's a great one.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But it takes a little while for the mind to catch up.
Yeah. And then after it's over, you say, "What just happened there?"